Lawmakers have proposed legislation that would allow school employees in Wisconsin to carry guns. It's Wednesday, April 12th. This is Wisconsin Today. Good morning, I'm Alex Crow. Coming up, Anya Van Wagtendonk has the details about a challenge to the recent federal court decision restricting access to a drug used for abortion. And Joe Schultz tells us about a new merger of two major health systems in the state. Stay with us.
You know you can count on WPR for news that's important, music that makes your day better, and conversations that make you think. We hope you'll make a financial contribution to support the radio service you rely on. And in fact, we count on it. The single largest portion of our budget comes from listener support. If you're not a member yet, make a gift of any amount today at WPR.org. Thank you.
Two GOP lawmakers are introducing a bill that would allow school employees in Wisconsin with concealed carry permits to bring a gun to school. Gabby Vinnick reports the legislation comes just 2 weeks after a deadly school shooting in Nashville, Tennessee.
The bill would grant school boards authority to allow employees with licenses to carry a gun on school grounds. It would also waive application fees for teachers to get a concealed carry license. The legislation came at the request of the Germantown School Board. That's according to Republican Representative Scott Allen of Waukesha. He says the bill is about school security.
If nobody else on campus has the skills, ability, or the tools to neutralize a threat, then they have no choice but to wait for authorities to arrive.
But Nick Matuszewski of the gun violence prevention group WAVE says arming teachers would make schools less safe. Governor Tony Evers says he plans to veto the legislation if it arrives at his desk. Gabby Vinnick, Wisconsin Public Radio.
New Census Bureau estimates show Wisconsin has regained nearly all of the population it lost since the pandemic first struck. But the numbers also underscore a demographic challenge for Wisconsin as more people died than were born. John Johnson is a researcher with Marquette University.
It was a pandemic, so it was killing people. There were a lot of excess deaths in the state. And then at the same time, there were fewer births, especially in that first year and a half after the pandemic began.
Even so, Johnson says Wisconsin's population has mostly rebounded because of more people moving to the state since 2021. The data also shows the rebound was uneven. Milwaukee County lost more than 20,000 residents over a two-year period. Dane County got the biggest bump with more than 6,000 new people since 2020. Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Call is joining a challenge to a recent federal court decision restricting access to abortion care. As Anya Van Wagtendonk reports, Call and 23 other attorneys general filed an amicus brief in federal court on Tuesday.
The coalition is urging a stay of a decision from a federal judge that would restrict access nationwide to a drug used in medication abortions. The group argues that restricting the drug will endanger women's lives. Mifepristone has been approved by the FDA for more than 20 years for both medication abortion and miscarriage management. A federal judge in Texas ruled last week that the FDA approval was improper. In a statement, Call said the court's decision is misguided. The federal government and the drugs manufacturer are expected to appeal. Anti-abortion groups in the state told Wisconsin Public Radio that they support the Texas court decision. Anya Van Wagtendonk, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Conservation groups and farmers voiced their support for proposed changes to the state's farmland preservation program at a public hearing on Tuesday. Farmers receive a tax credit for following state conservation practices on enrolled acres, but fewer landowners have been participating each year because of the small dollar amount per acre and required enrollment for 15 years. A bill with bipartisan support would increase the tax credit amounts and lower the minimum enrollment time. Sean Paff is a lobbyist for the Dairy Business Association. At the hearing, he said many farmer groups support the changes.
Reducing it from 15 to 10 years is very helpful as farmers make their decisions of what they want to do with their acreage.
Wisconsin Land and Water and Clean Wisconsin also support the bill. This is the third time the changes have been proposed. In previous sessions, the legislation has not made it to the assembly floor for a vote. Fredert Health and ThetaCare have begun the process of merging their organizations into one. As Joe Schultz reports, they hope to launch a combined health system by the end of the year.
ThetaCare and Fredert officials say the merger is aimed at improving the health and well-being of their patients and communities. Fredert is based in Milwaukee and serves southeast Wisconsin. ThetaCare is based in Neenah and serves the northeast and central parts of the state. Kathy Jacobson is the president of Fredert.
We don't need to do this. We want to do this because we think it's going to make us better.
Officials haven't decided on a name for the combined health system, but hope to continue incorporating the existing ones. The announcement comes after two high-profile health system mergers were finalized late last year. According to media reports, Fredert lost millions of dollars in two separate quarters last year. Joe Schultz, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Coming up, we've got a story from Wisconsin Life about finding humor in times of tragedy. Stay with us.
You tune into Wisconsin Public Radio for news you can trust, conversations that draw you in, and music and entertainment that make your day better. The largest source of funding for everything you value on WPR is listener support. Join the team that makes WPR possible. Become a sustaining member. Make an ongoing monthly gift and share WPR with your entire community. It's easy to sign up at WPR.org.
And finally, it's time for Wisconsin Life. Here's producer Brad Kohlberg with a story about a comedian's search for humor in tragedy.
A house fire is a tragic thing to live through, and comedian J.C. Catlin would agree. He's done it. But in his new short film, he also proves that tragedy plus time equals comedy.
My name is J.C. Catlin. I wrote and am the star of Everything I Learned When My House Burned Down, and I am a comedian.
It only takes a few hours for your house to burn down. But after that, you continue to live inside its burnt-out husk for months and years. When my house in rural Wisconsin burned down, it was the coldest day of the year.
JC had fired up the seldom-used wood stove in the basement to help keep his family warm.
And then all of a sudden I thought, you know, that's smelling kind of strong. And so I got up and all of a sudden heard my kids screaming. And by the time I got into the living room, there was already like flames shooting up through the floor.
He managed to put the fire out briefly with one of his fire extinguishers. But as he went to grab another, the fire reignited and quickly grew.
So I just kind of like called 911 and ran away, you know, thinking the propane tank is going to explode or something. Like you want to get away from the house because it was already just totally engulfed in flames.
Everyone made it out safely and managed to stay warm. Even the hamster.
When you're grabbing the cup, walking out the hamster cage, putting it in the back of the car, you know it's bad.
A couple days later, he went back and posted a video to YouTube of the aftermath.
It somehow has turned into a cave. Typically, houses, when they burn down, don't turn into a cave. But in this case, my house decided that it would. So I thought that while it's still cold and the caveness is preserved, that we really have to document this because it is important to remember in these times of loss that something new and beautiful always is left in the ashes. And in this case, it's stalactites and stalagmites, my two favorite kind of stalag things.
So the water from the firefighters' hoses was freezing to the ceiling from the cold, melting from the fire, and then refreezing on tables, counters, and floors.
Which was, you know, kind of oddly beautiful, but also, you know, when it's your own house, it's just kind of like, it's pretty heavy imagery.
Considering how tragic the fire was, the YouTube video was actually kind of funny in places. JC says he wasn't really going for humor, but it got him thinking. And that's where his friend Joe comes in.
My name is Joe Pickett. I'm the director of Everything I Learned When My House Burned Down, and also the curator of the Found Footage Festival.
Jokes are how JC and Joe both make a living. So finding some humor in the fire came naturally to them.
takes the edge off, you know, and sometimes it's necessary to get through these things any way you can.
I think laughing at tragedy is a uniquely Wisconsin thing. And for this film, we're really trying to strike the balance between like, yeah, this is a tragic thing and we shouldn't just be laughing at it. But then it's also like, this is how we deal with it.
So they filmed JC inside the burned house like he was still living there.
That's the conceit of the short, is that we wanted JC to go about his normal day-to-day routine in the burnt out house. So yeah, he's vacuuming, he's listening to extremely warped records that don't play on a record player anymore.
Hi, is this the library? Yeah, what's your policy on like if the books are, you know, a little bit like on fire?
JC says in the film that things get better, but sometimes it's hard to notice. 2 years later, he's still dealing with it.
Going through and, you know, remembering, oh, we don't have a grapefruit spoon. We got to buy a grapefruit spoon. That's every single day. You know, there's just something that you don't have that you used to have, and then you assume it's somewhere because you used to have one. Oh, no, it burned in the fire. You know, so that still goes on all the time.
For more on Everything I Learned When My House Burned Down, a comedy, you can visit our website at wisconsinlife.org. Thanks, guys.
Sweet.
Great.
Thanks.
Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and PBS Wisconsin in partnership with Wisconsin Humanities. Additional support comes from Lowell and Mary Peterson of Appleton. I'm Brad Kohlberg.
And that'll do it. Thanks for joining us for Wisconsin Today. I'm your host, Alex Crow. Our producers are John Davis and Bridget Bowden. Catch us wherever you get your podcasts every weekday morning. Don't forget to subscribe, leave us a rating and review. Let us know how we're doing. Have a great day. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.